I'm Mark.
We're getting our green on today.
Talking about organic architecture and sustainable homes with expert guests.
Designer Tracy Hudson, well known for her work on Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
And the not-so-big house trend-setting author and architect, Sarah Susanka.
Called a father of the green building movement, Green Builder Media co-founder Ron Jones.
And sustainable designer Kelly LaPlante.
Right now on My Fix It Up Life.
Before you paint, do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet dry vac and go. No drywall dust on your furniture, no tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com.
Mark, you're inside My Fix It Up Life. You know what?
I'm here every day.
It's where we make our home, make our lives together, make happiness and joy. And I'm very excited because I've been doing a lot of reading. I've had a lot of really awesome books to read lately. And actually, you know, books that we've had for a long time, like The Not So Big House and Feathering the Nest. And, well, of course, we get this magazine.
All the time.
All the time, too. With this handsome expert
Ron Jones,
something in the back every
Green Builder
month.
Media. He's going to join us later today. Fantastic and great guy, super articulate, which of course makes me jealous of him.
Yes, extremely capable man. But you know what? We're talking about sustainability, and I think it's majorly important, though, and kind of connected in my brain cells. I don't know about you, but you know, I have spaghetti brain. That the word of the year for Oxford was announced recently, and it's vape.
I don't want to know that.
Which kind of speaks to the whole thing about, you know, sustainability and indoor air quality and everything, because I saw a study done that actually vaping affects indoor air quality negatively. Like, you think that it might be better, but it's really actually not helping as much as you think it would.
It's one of those things that might be less bad, but they haven't spent a lot of time studying it and all that, but it might just be less bad, which should be differentiated from actually good. Those are two different things, and it's actually, that happens in life all the time.
It does.
I'm not eating Cheerios anymore, but I am eating a whole bunch of Oreos to make up for. Okay, the glass of milk makes Captain Crunch less bad.
True.
But it's not Nutribullet. It's not a steak
or
a piece of chicken.
Well, you know what? Even Captain Crunch needs to get his dairy and his vitamin D. And I think it's really good that you're giving that to him.
So good, though.
But I do want to share something, though. One of our guests today, Tracy Hudson, from her book, that, you know, it's a few years old, but still wildly relevant, too. But she shared this quote, which I think, I don't know if you ever heard, from Dorothy Draper. If you don't know who she is, she's kind of amazing in the field of interior design. But she says that birds are so much wiser than me. A robin builds a nest for robins. A seagull builds a nest for seagulls. They don't copy each other or build themselves nests as described in The Birds Decorating Magazine.
I'm not really sure I understood that or why you're saying it.
I'm saying it because, you know, thinking about sustainability and everything, it's an organic way of thinking about natural materials and having an approach to the environment that you kind of, I guess, intuit in a way that birds and animals that we aren't. So we're always looking stuff up in books. I'm constantly researching things. But
all
there's
the
something
time.
Like you have a sense for like what is right and what is wrong inside of your soul parts.
And for a show that's so esoteric, no one will know about it or understand what we're saying, because we will get to brass tacks and things you can do.
Yes.
And things that make sense for going green, sustainability, architecture, not being too big. But stand by for a small second. We got to go to break. We'll be back with more on My Fix It Up.
Till we reach the morning light. We're singing high, 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 more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with ThermaTrue fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting ThermaTrue.com and Fipon.com.
Mark?
You're back. You're in it.
I am so excited. It is so lovely to see you.
Well, it's so lovely to see both of you. I miss you guys. It's been a long time.
It has been.
It has. And you look exactly the same, which is to say awesome.
Yes, you look as beautiful as the last day I saw you, Tracy Hudson.
The after school drop off and all that mess this morning. Little lip gloss, you know.
That's how I do it.
But thank you.
You wear lip gloss, Mark? There's too much being revealed
the
right
lip
now.
Lip gloss pen.
Well, I am so happy to see you. And are you at home right now?
I am. I can see our little fall decorations in the back. And this was the only room that I could actually see you guys. So I hope it's not too chaotic in the background.
No. Are you a seasonal decorator or a holiday decorator or all of the above?
I have that gene. I got the Martha Stewart gene. I started early. I used to decorate houses for Christmas and the holidays in Texas for extra money when I was in junior high and high school.
No way.
That's how much I love it. Yeah. So, yes.
I can't imagine junior high you were decorating houses.
Yeah, I was. Christmas.
You're ambitious.
Tree, making bows, you know, humming along. That was the annoying me. But just took down Halloween. We've got our pumpkins still up and then we'll move into Christmas. I'm so excited. Tis the season.
When do you start thinking about it?
Actually, my children remind me on a daily basis, of course. They're counting down till Halloween, counting down until Thanksgiving break, counting down until Christmas. The list have started. The advent calendar is already out, even though it's not December 1. You're like ready. Yeah. But
oh,
it's true.
Good.
We can still have that Santa, you know, we still have that clout. Uh-uh. No, no. We don't wrestle the brother. Santa is, you know.
So you just went in the span of generously 3 seconds from Santa and Ernest Loves Christmas to like gangland South Central.
I mean,
I'm
that's
afraid.
Why we have Santa on our side, right? I mean,
I'm
you guys
afraid.
I'm not messing with Tracy or Santa.
I'm going to need Paulie DeMeo and that guy he works with on Building Wild for security for the rest of this interview. Tuffy.
That's going to be really good.
I'm sure you guys were just fine this year. Don't worry.
So,
well, I have to say, I was re-looking through your book, which is beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
It's absolutely a beautiful book. So anybody who is expecting a baby should look up Feathering the Nest on Amazon and get it because it's just beautiful and it's inspirational and you go through all the different kinds of styles that are still really extremely popular and relevant. And it's been a few years.
And the emotions of the experience too, nesting. And
yes.
Well, I'm glad that you guys revisited the book. I really was. It was just me at home. I know we've discussed it in the past, but I was on my second maternity leave from Extreme. And I just, you know, all my girlfriends were having babies at the same time. And they were saying, how can I get my nursery together, not spend a ton of money, try to do things that are good for my baby, you know, the no VOC paint, so on and so forth. And I said, forget it. I'm going to write a book and we can have it all in one source. So that's pretty much what happened.
And all the things that you bring up in there too, you know, like synthetic rugs and carpets versus natural fiber. And something that I guess I missed before, flushable diapers, which I'm not sure.
I missed that.
Yeah, that's something that blows my mind.
Yeah, I tried it. I did. I tried it. I gave it a good go. And, you know, I mean, diaper changing is, it's not fun. Like, this isn't.
It's I mean, that's wildly glamorous. I mean.
Right. It's so hot.
You have a line in there that is something like, you know, everybody strives in the beginning, you strive for perfection. The nursery's going to be perfect. Our house is going to be perfect. I'm going to grow and make all their food like, you know, Mother Goose. Then the baby comes and then you realize like a couple days later when you haven't bathed in a while and you're starving and tired, it's okay.
Yes. Are you speaking from personal experience?
Well, that too. That too. I'm totally stealing this concept from Feathering the Nest.
Well, you know, I was like very committed though. We did cloth diapers for 2 years. And I did the, like, I made baby food and all that stuff. Like, I was trying to be as earth mama as possible. But, you know, there's only so much everybody can do. And so it's like all the little stuff that you can make decisions about, which is just such a beautiful way that you've put it in your book and how that you live your life. It's just like, you make little things, and that can make a big difference if everybody's doing little changes.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not standing on a soapbox saying, hey, it's the only way, you know, I walk everywhere, I don't drive. I mean, it's not, it's a very realistic perspective on how to just do what we can. And it does add up. All of that matters. And our children are watching. So they're recycling, they're paying attention, they want to eat organic, they want to go to the farmer's market with me. So it's all, you know, it's this trickle-down theory, and I mean, it's the way of the future, and I think that there's a lot there. So I'm glad it wasn't just a trend that went away. I think that we're all becoming smarter consumers. And
I think it is. It's something that we're all thinking more and more and more about with the tiny house movement. And, you know, like, we compost now and everything, which is not something that we would have done 10 years ago.
No,
not at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's fun to do. It's fun to share it with the kids. It's fun to be part of something cool that you can not look back on and say, wow, I regret that.
Right. Never. I mean, you know, again, it's not the most glamorous thing all the time, but it's fun. And it's, we're enjoying it.
Okay, I want to talk about glamorous things because are one of the most glamorous girls I know. So, like, what are you into? I know he's mimicking me. I don't really care.
We actually do a thing sometimes. I have my own hangout over here.
Right. You'll be talking sports on that side.
What's the score now? No, so what is Tracy Hudson doing these days? Like, what are you into? Is there, like, some...
What's your passion today?
Yeah, what's making you...
You a country music star yet?
Yes, what happened to that?
Not yet. But, I mean, you know, I'm killing it in my car. Like, I'm definitely on my dream mission in my car, for sure.
We've got to have Tim Williams write that song.
Killing it in my car.
Killing it in my car.
I am just sticking to the old faithfuls. I'm still flea marketing. All of my clients really appreciate that eclectic design. I'm reupholstering pieces they already have. I just got involved in a project in Oregon outside of Portland. I'm so excited about it. It's an old milking barn. And so we're leveling the structures. There's three structures, and we're keeping one portion of the milking barn and knocking it down and saving all of the wood. And I'm making a modern farmhouse with all of the wood that we can possibly repurpose and then selling it as an investment property. But it's going to be beautiful. But that's one of the most glamorous ventures I have going on right now, is just knocking down an old barn, because who doesn't want to live in a barn? And bringing all of that history back in.
If you could just jot down the address.
No problem. No problem. I'll call you when it's done. You guys should definitely come and see it. It's going to be spectacular.
I do. I want to.
We're demoing soon, and, you know, things don't work as fast as they did on Extreme, sadly.
You don't say.
Yeah. Really? It wasn't real?
How odd. You don't build a house in 5 days?
Some of the guys that we did Joplin with, we're still in touch with. Often. I mean, they're friends.
Yeah.
And periodically, someone will say, man, wouldn't it be great if a bunch of blue shirts just came around the corner right now to help us out? Because I'm exhausted.
I say that every morning. I'm like, come on, volunteers, we can do it.
Yes.
Do you give your children blue shirts and say, guys, let's play a little game?
No, but I like that. They have ones that say transpo department on the back, so they still think that they're pretty cool. But I should dig out a couple of blue shirts and, you know, put them to work for sure.
That's so funny. Like that's that. So funny.
And yeah, I'm like, let's go to the supermarket. Volunteers.
Yay.
For little kids, our son Jack would love that. 6 years old. Transpo department. And what we're lucky enough to know, that that's a guy who drives around in a truck full of fuel, fueling up all the stuff that's around. Like, all the excavators, all the skid steers, all the generators, they need gas. You don't go to the gas station on Extreme Makeover. It comes to you.
it comes to you. Also, craft service is a huge part of the transpo department. You know that. I love my transpo team. That's where, when it's cold, you know, that's where you find your buddies. They had to go to Sears with me. You know, poor guys going and shopping.
We have to go to break in just a few seconds, but I'm really sad that you're not on, like, a lot of shows.
Can you be on TV more?
Like, can you be on TV more?
No
I
problem.
Would love that, because you're so delightful.
For you guys. Absolutely.
We'll have our own Tracy cam.
Let's do it.
Yeah, put a GoPro in my car. It's endlessly entertaining.
Well, you're killing it in there, so why not? Maybe you can sing us out on one of your favorite songs.
Oh, gosh, no.
No, no, we can't have that.
You have to save her voice for performances only.
We have to save it for yelling at people at the Oregon Dairy Barn.
That's it.
Get that down. Put it over there. Do this, do that. Save this, save that.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, calm down.
I can't calm down.
No?
I cannot calm down. Before we have to go to break, which is soon, do you see anybody from Extreme Makeover anymore?
Polly is working quite a bit on Building Wild. I still see Ty. We live in the same neighborhood. Sabrina Soto, Jeff Dye, Michael Maloney, every once in a while, but everyone just sort of crew a lot. I see the crew more than I do the cast, sadly.
Well, we do have to go to break, Mark, so let's say goodbye to the gorgeous and lovely Tracy Hudson. Everyone
Tracy,
buy this
thank
book.
You. Feathering the Nest.
Thanks,
Feathering
guys.
On a break.
Follow her on Twitter. We do.
We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Live.
It's time to bring beauty back in your next project by Seeing Red. Born to beat the elements, Western Red Cedar is awesome for outdoor rooms, decks, fences, pergolas, and more. Inside, cedar's a sweet choice for hope chests, highlight walls, and woodworking projects, big and small. Stable, chemical-free, and safe, cedar's a natural choice. So bring beauty back to the yard and punch up projects inside the house. For more information and ideas, see red at wrcla.org.
Are back inside My Fix It Up Life, and we are here talking green, organic, sustainability, right sizing, cool sizing, all kinds of sizing for living now, today, and into the future as partners with the planet. And we are also joined by super famous, by the way, who probably never intended to get that way, Sarah Susanka. I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
This could be my fault. Possibly. Your name, I'm desperate to call you Susan Sarasanka.
Oh, yeah.
And I am so sorry. I've known about your books and respected and all that for... I cannot...
A respect admire and all of that.
It's like the president walking, you know, President of the United States walking in the room. You're like, hey, Bobby.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about, sir?
Yeah, so did that happen to you, though?
It happens all the time. So the real name is Sarah Susanka. And so the last name has Susan within it. And so it confuses everybody. But so I often have, I've actually had somebody correct me.
No. Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay, unless it was your mother, you should not be listening to them about correction of your name.
It was funny. But anyway, so it's Sarah Susanka.
Yeah, I know. I know. And we're introducing the show. I looked at it. I read it because I've done it 1,000 times. So I apologize. How
no
can
problem.
I blame you for it?
No problem.
Well, you know, the book, The Not-So-Big House, ginormous. I mean, what a huge impact that book made, and how popular, how extraordinarily popular it became. And, you know, all of the books and everything that have come after that, too, have been really kind of important. And now it's what? Is it like 15 years later?
Yeah.
Has it been?
The first one came out in September of 1998. So quite a long time.
And now the whole tiny house thing. Everyone's talking about going small and the tiny house movement and building houses on the backs of trailers and all of, like, how small can you go? It seems to be the opposite dare of what it used to be, is like, how big can you build? And I'm so curious to find out what you think of all of that that's going on now, 15 years after.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, let me give you a little bit of clarification first so people understand what not so big means. And then let's talk about tiny.
Okay.
So when I talk about not so big, I'm really trying to get people to use their dollars, the money they have available, to build space that they actually use every day. So I grew up in England, and I saw, you know, in England we lived much more formally. So we used our formal living rooms and formal dining rooms. And when I moved to this country, as a teenager, I was looking at my friends' houses and I thought, why do they build these formal spaces when they apparently never use them and yet they're decorated to the nines? And it seemed like such a waste of money. So what I started to talk about initially and then write about in the Not So Big House is how to build about a third less square footage, but build it for the way you really live. So build it for you. So the reason that that message, I think, got through so loud and clear was that all of our professionals, the real estate agents, the appraisers, the bankers, many times the designers and builders are encouraging people to build more square footage than they need, and then they don't have the dollars to make it beautiful. So my real goal is, how do you make the space that you live in better rather than bigger? And so now we go to the tiny house movement, and it's that to an extreme. So I don't personally design tiny houses, though I've actually lived in one for a couple years while I was in college and learned so much about how little you can live on. You know, that you don't need a lot of space. And when you have a few really prized possessions in a beautiful space, you feel wonderful. It's incredible, very liberating. But you can take that same idea and with a little bit more space still have a really wonderful place. One second.
Hydration is key.
Oh, it is.
Hydration is very important.
Excuse me. Yeah, still have a really, really wonderful place to live. Plenty of square footage.
Do you consider yourself, I need a second to formulate this thought, an accidental philosopher, as you know, you're an architect, you know about houses, the technology,
right,
the design of a home, of course, but in the not so big life, you've taken this to maybe not the next level, but certainly a different level.
Yes.
And well, are you an accidental philosopher, I guess?
I think that what I've done is articulated a set of ideas that a lot of people are longing for today, which is how to find the meaningfulness both within our houses and within our lives. And so just like with house design, I'm talking about building better rather than bigger in our lives. You're referring to the Not So Big Life, which actually came out in 2007. There I'm talking about how to find the meaning that we're looking for with everything that we do. So we go on this great hunt and we think, you know, if I buy another couch or if I, you know, find a better boyfriend, my life is going to get better. And really, it has nothing to do with those things. It has to do with how we show up in our own lives. And in a very similar way, our houses are an expression of us. So as we allow them to really reflect who we are on the inside, we start to feel so much more at home, both in our houses and our lives.
Wow. If you'll excuse me, I have to cancel several orders I've placed recently.
That coffee table, it's out.
Canoe, I don't even know how to use that. Can you hold on for a while?
Drum set. Cancel the drum set.
The drum set.
We don't need that. No, I don't need that.
So to use, I guess, the general term, and millions and zillions of people live in them for all kinds of different reasons, but McMansion.
Right.
And that covers all kinds of different houses. Is there an element, though, in that word that you sort of identify with that makes it a McMansion? And in a way that someone who lives there who likes what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they might have moved there for the school district and that was the house for sale.
And I get asked this question a lot, actually. Or you're living in a house, you know it's bigger than you need, you know it's sort of amorphous, it doesn't have a personality to it. There are things that you can do to make that house really fit you. I've got 9 books in the Not So Big series, and one of them is called More Not So Big Solutions for Your Home. And in there, there's a chapter about improving a McMansion with ceiling height variety. And it's just what you need to make that house really tailored to fit you and your family, so it feels more like a tailored suit than a sack. And that's my goal.
It's so, so, so sad that you're not articulate.
You know, I really like that, and I'm going to kind of use that as a mantra in my brain as I'm going around our house. Because, you know, I think Mark and I are like a lot of people. We have a lot of extra things.
Right.
We who.
Right. Well, I'll tell you a piece of mantra to speak to yourself. Do not keep anything in your house that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful. And that was actually a quote from William Morris, who was the founder of the arts and crafts movement in England. But it really encapsulates what I talk about.
Yes, and it's that thing where you feel like you should keep things because someone gave it to you. Like, mm-hmm. you feel obligated because
right.
you inherited this. Or,
right.
you know, Susie gave it to you. Or, you know, she might come over and ask where that thing is that she gave you. And that's happened to me before, where I've gotten rid of things. And then a friend comes over and is like, where's the...
Yeah.
I
just tell
them,
you know what? It stunk. In our friendship, I already know the stories you're going to tell.
Well,
obligation
is definitely not a good reason to do anything. So,
wow.
you know, what I try to help people understand is how to live authentically and how to express themselves authentically.
Is expressing that word itself to people, they sort of say, oh, yeah. And then they think about it for a second and say, oh, no, what are you talking about? Yeah,
right.
What's authentic?
Right. It means what do you know in your heart? And so often, so much of our communication is largely phony. It's based on what we think we're supposed to say. What I try to help people to see is that the real is in your speaking what you're actually feeling. Now, you can certainly end up being rude in that, and I'm not encouraging you to do that. But I am saying, you know, for example, with the object that wasn't really useful to you, to just speak and say, I couldn't find a good use for it, but I found a good home for it, for somebody who loves that. That expresses something more real than, you know, just pretending that it's okay.
Could you be like a new kind of Siri, so that when you have an awkward social situation, I can say... Sarah, what do I say now? And you're like, I found a new home for it because someone else loves it more. And I'm like, that's it.
I've been trying to figure out a not so big app. I think that's what it's going to be.
Yes.
That is beautiful.
Because seriously, there's so many of those situations where I know I'm like, okay, what is the thing to say that's true but doesn't hurt someone's feelings at
yeah,
the same time?
It's very tough, but what we don't realize is that we do much better when we're actually more authentic about how we're truly feeling, because then a real conversation ensues. Yeah.
I love your sweater.
Thank you.
It looks great. That chair behind you. It's a work of art. We have about 30 seconds left, and that was the only thing I said that wasn't full of.
So we have to tell everybody to go and check out.
You are wonderful. Thank you, Sarah
Thanks
Susanica.
So much.
Not So Big House.
Yes.
Really, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really amazing. I'm inspired. And
visit me on Facebook.
Yes. Go visit
Sarah Susanica.
Go visit whatever her name is on Facebook. It's probably
there.
Got some S's
there
in it. You are fantastic. Thank you so
much.
We are going to break. Thank you. We are going to break. Follow her on Facebook. Follow us. We'll be right back.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci Roofs are fire-resistant and made to withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624. Rebuilding Together believes that everyone deserves to live in a safe and healthy home. For nearly 25 years, Rebuilding Together has provided critical home repairs for low-income homeowners in need. With support from volunteers and skilled professionals, Rebuilding Together affiliates complete 10,000 rebuild projects every year, working to revitalize and stabilize vulnerable neighborhoods and communities across the country. Join Rebuilding Together and rebuild in your community. Find out how you can make a difference and get involved at RebuildingTogether.org.
And you are inside my Fix It Up Life with my husband.
Mark. Oh, Mark. That's when I talk, right?
Mark.
Mark.
And it's a really hard Mark. Name to pronounce. And, you know, yesterday when I was picking up Jack from school, there was, he does the aftercare program on that day. And there was one of the women that runs it. She was making ornaments for all the children.
Right.
And trying to fit some of the longer named children on those ornaments was quite a challenge.
Quite, writing in a circle around the...
Yes. So yeah. Words like Mark and our son Jack are beautiful for those kinds of projects.
Oh,
and
I'm glad to know.
I would like to compliment you on that.
Huh, appreciate it. Yes. Appreciate it to no end.
So we are talking about sustainability today, and we're talking about all kinds of, from all different directions, from carpets to building to living small.
To carpentry, to
yes,
site selection, to all kinds of different approaches.
And we have someone on the line right now who I'm delighted to talk to, and Mark always says, I wish we had an hour for a conversation with him.
Ron Jones from Green Builder Media, builder... pioneer, and I don't know what else, Ron, that I can add to that. I hope you're with us.
I am, and it's a pleasure to be here. How are you guys?
We are doing absolutely fantastic and delighted to talk to you. And, you know, I'm glad that you are on the line because I heard that if it was a good day, you'd be out building and not talking to us.
You know, that's true. We're looking at a lot of snow up here in the mountains of Colorado, and so you got me close to the phone.
Thank you, Mother Nature, for bringing Ron to us. I appreciate you.
How much snow is snow for you out there?
You know, it'll come and go this time of year, but we already have, up where our current project is, there's already better than a foot up there. And the roads will be iffy for a little while, and then we won't have any access at all, except by snowmobile, until about probably April.
So this is a summer warm weather build only? Is that what I'm picking up there?
No, we're going to be, we're building for all seasons, but access will be a challenge at times. But we fully intend to be able to enjoy the project anytime we choose to once we have it completed.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, is this the Mariposa Meadows that I read about at Green Builder Magazine?
Yes. Mariposa Meadows is our project in southern Colorado. It's up at 10,400 feet elevation. It's completely off-grid, and it's completely surrounded by national forest and three wilderness areas. And so we are embarking on a project there to do a variety of different testing and data collection projects, including different kinds of renewable energy, different kinds of building envelopes and building systems, and different combinations of controls and so forth. Also some high-altitude agriculture and just the whole subject of sustainability, you know, which drives us, will be addressed in a variety of ways at Mariposa.
Wow.
Why pick a place that's so far away?
Well, I think that it's really important to demonstrate the things that we talk about all the time, and being self-sufficient, being self-reliant, being completely off-grid, being able to monitor and to report on and to help influence people on the issues of sustainability. If we can do it at 10,400 feet on that beautiful, pristine piece of property, people can do it anywhere. And, you know, I've always been a builder who and a designer who embraced challenging sites. That was my specialty when I built for clients. And the point is, I think almost anybody could build on flat lots, but that never really turned me on.
Yeah, I've heard that from lots of different guys over the years. You know, one friend said, I can make $1 million, whatever it was, some huge amount of money just doing windows and doors. But mm-hmm. he could never get there because he'd long since delve into insanity because that's not for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's well, you're out there.
It's just a tremendous opportunity. It's a once in a lifetime, and it's my life's work, and it will be where we scatter my ashes when it's done.
Good times. Good talk.
Well, I guess that's sustainable.
So what phase
well, I'm not
of this
really
fascinating
in a hurry. Don't get me wrong.
What phase of this fascinating project are you at right now?
We have put in, let me back up. We have a little over 120 acres. We have a live stream. We have timber. And we have some magnificent big meadows, Mariposa Meadows. We named it because of the big grassy high mountain meadows that are up there. So we have a live stream with water rights for irrigation and so forth. We are completely inundated with wildlife. We have resident moose. We have bighorn sheep. We have elk and mule deer and all kinds of birds. We even have the legendary amphibian, the boreal toad, just so you know. And we have a nice trout stream there. But we dropped in a very successful domestic well, which will be powered off of a solar-powered pump. And we have three structures under construction right now. I'd like to tip my hat to the Structural Insulated Panel Association. They provided assistance and help with erecting structural insulated panel structures up there. Two of them are dried in for the winter, and the third one we're at slab stage, and we have the SIPs ready to go in the spring. So next spring we will complete those three, and then we'll continue with the other parts of the development, which are geared more toward the research and development and plug-and-play opportunities with the renewable energy supplies and so forth.
So I'm wildly interested in seeing images of what's going on. Is there somewhere where you're cataloging everything you're doing?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yes, if you go to greenbuildermedia.com, mm-hmm. It'll pull up our flagship publication, Green Builder Magazine, which I know you're familiar with. And there's a tab there for Vision House. And Vision House, as you know, is our series of demonstration projects that we've built for years across the country from coast to coast. This is the first one that we've done that's completely off-grid and that's on a scale like Mariposa, but we have a tremendous amount of information under that tab. I think, in fact, the first item listed under Vision House is the Mariposa Meadows project. And we'll continue to add information, and that will be an ongoing project for several years to come. So we invite people to take a look at that and to interact with us and, you know, communicate with us on that. In fact, we're going to be really disappointed if you guys don't come out sometime and visit us.
Well, I would love to, but I've got this thing about snow that is not really my friend. But my husband is, you know, grew up in New England and lived in Vermont.
I'll come out right now.
He's like, okay. It doesn't matter the weather. It doesn't matter the altitude. It doesn't matter if he's like having to like be on a 20-story scaffold or anything. Nothing matters. He'll be there. He's good. But I'm not so much. So when it's a beautiful day, I'd love to come out.
When you have the Ritz-Carlton built next door.
We'll be ready for guests next summer, and so I want you to put it in your calendar.
Oh, I want to come next summer, Mark. You have to take me there.
Perfect. I want to build something.
There you go.
So.
Can Mark come out before then and give a hand?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've got more to do than I can even think about.
Wow. Oh, that's fantastic. So you're talking about snowmobiles now. So that means there's some kind of dirt road or trail. And I read your blog, by the way, in Green Builder, No Parking, which was hilarious, by the way, because of the irony of the size of this site, and there's still nowhere for anything. And
right.
That's our favorite page of the magazine. We always immediately go to the last page because it's the most entertaining. It's informative. Everything else is informative and thought provoking. But then your piece is always both and entertaining too.
Thank you so much. Well, accessing the property takes place by a county maintained U.S. Forest Service forest road, and they close it down in the wintertime, and so the access then is by snowcat or snowmobile or snowshoes or some other method of transportation. We're not allowed to use wheeled vehicular traffic to access the property at that point, but we can come and go anytime we want, as it's a private holding.
Right, so you've got to use a you can't drive four-wheel drive trucks up there. You got to use a snow machine.
That's correct. The road is actually closed to wheeled access, and there's a groomed snowmobile trail that we can access the property on.
So are you bringing guys up there and running generators and building stuff in with that kind of access?
Yep, absolutely. And it's been a real challenge because, the weather is pretty spotty, and we didn't get started until August up there this year, and so it was fall before we knew it, and we have local craftsmen that have been working with us up there who are very familiar with the conditions and so forth, and so everything's been quite satisfactory. I will tell you, the real challenge is when it comes to delivering large items like the structural insulated panels I mentioned, and most of all, trying to get any concrete up there. Concrete is a precious commodity at 10,400 feet. It has to come from 2 hours away, and the weather is such a big factor, and the roads and the altitude and everything. So we finally, just before the last big snowstorm, in fact, just minutes before the snow started, we were able to place and finish the third and final slab for this season, and so we're all good to go. And I was hugely relieved, but the logistics of getting heavy material, heavy equipment, and so forth is probably the biggest challenge.
Wow.
Wow. I'm amazed. I'm going to go and look at the pictures on the website. Where did we go again?
Oh, you have to.
Is it Green Builder? Sorry? GreenBuilderMedia.com, GreenBuilderMagazine.com?
Yeah, you could go to greenbuildermag.com or greenbuildermedia.com.
Okay, I'm definitely going to go check that out because I'm crazy now about it. Do you guys have an Instagram thing too? Is anyone doing that for the project?
I'm sorry?
Instagram. Is anyone that's taking pictures and loading them up on Instagram?
Yes, I'm not the right guy to give you the input on that, but if you go to the website, the folks that are smarter than me do that stuff for us, members of our team. So we take photographs almost on a daily basis, and then we send them to our team. Heather generally takes care of that and puts up that material, but there's all kinds of ongoing information there.
We're going to definitely follow you there right after this. And smarter than you? Not possible.
I have a question. I have a real question. I got distracted by the toad before because I thought it was an amphibian, and then you're going to say it was like that that thing from China that also walks across land, and my mind went
somewhere
else.
See, when I think of Toad, I think of the story of Frog and Toad.
The snakefish.
I think of Frog and Toad. You know, they were friends.
You have timber on the land. Are you able to, or is it a good thing to harvest that timber and use it in the structures?
We can harvest the timber that we have on our own private property, and then there are timber sales on the surrounding national forest properties that are very carefully managed by the U.S. Forest Service and under very strict guidelines and so forth. And the logging operations that take place in those kinds of scenarios typically are contracted to companies that will take them to a mill and then have the material processed there, and then you bring the dimensional lumber or the logs or the timbers back to your job site. But we can use any of the timber resource or stone or anything else that we have on site.
Wow, amazing. Everybody has to go to greenbuildermag.com right now. Check it out. We're going to follow you guys on Instagram, and we will be back in just a minute with more of my Fix It Up Life.
Walls before you paint? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet dry vac and go. No drywall dust on your furniture, no tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com.
You're back inside my Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark. And I'm really excited about what we're about to talk about.
Yes, I am too, because I think we live it. I think we breathe it. But I don't think at some levels we, or even you listening, know what it is when we talk about eco-friendly, green. What does that mean? Where can you bring it into your life? From structure to design to just living every day. And we are joined by what she likes to call herself, daredevil designer, Kelly LaPlante.
Daredevil.
I love that, because I read your bio and your website, kellylaplante.com. And honestly, first, hilarious. Second, one of the best reads I've had in a while because it's funny. And third, you're jammed with activities.
And daredevil and a serial entrepreneur.
Ooh, I like that, a serial entrepreneur.
I think we do.
Yes. I think that's curious. That just speaks for, like, curiosity. You have probably genuine, constant curiosity about life and things.
I do.
Yes.
And improving upon things. I see something and I want to make it better. I figure out how I can make it better, which is probably how I fell into this
You are touted, Kelly, as like a green designer, eco-friendly designer, all of those words that people use, sustainable and everything. And, you know, starting out being just a designer and then sort of like evolving into being really conscious about, you know, the planet and making things that are beautiful but yet are sustainable as well. And you spent some time doing a little bit of TV work on HGTV and everything like that throughout your evolution of your wonderful career. And I'm curious, you know, doing those kinds of shows on TV, how has that sort of informed the way that you design now?
Well, I was lucky to do several TV shows that were really about being green. I did Big Ideas for a Small Planet. I did Greenovate. And so that was fantastic because they wanted to show me being green. Some of the other shows I did were not specifically about being green, and that's really tough because production is not really green by design. It's actually pretty wasteful. And so to try to have those things in place for myself, because you know they're never going to show on TV that you're being eco-friendly, that's not important to them. to try to show that or to make that important to myself, it's tricky. But it's a great challenge, and I think how I take that into my life now is having to sort of be on that way and really be thinking and on the ball and really just thinking, like, on your toes all the time, okay, I have 3 hours to pull off X, whatever it happens to be, and I need to do it eco-friendly because that's important to me. How am I going to do that? That was a great skill to learn because now I know I really can do it in any sort of situation.
And that's kind of what I was sort of thinking about because, you know, we've done some TV stuff too, and
It's almost like they don't know you have to build something.
It's just total chaos. And it's a lot of fun, and I love the crews, and I love the chaos. I think the chaos is actually a lot of fun. It challenges you, and it pushes you, but it doesn't allow you a lot of luxury to care about things. So that's tricky. It's really tricky.
Well, I also have to say that I ordered your book, and it hasn't arrived yet, and I'm very excited to read it. And I looked up how to pronounce it, too. And then I thought I was pretty fancy, and I pronounced it to my husband, and he said that it just means ecology. And I was sad.
And now, because we're going to have a secret and not tell anyone what the title of her book is.
Right.
I'm just having a sad moment right now.
Ecologique. And there's some more that goes beyond that. The style of sustainable design. God, how did you write such a complicated book?
Well, it's on Amazon, and that's where I ordered it.
So. Yes. So the whole tagline is actually almost a little bit tongue-in-cheek because the whole idea of the book, which I wrote a while ago in 2008, it was to show people that there was no style of sustainable design, and that's why it was sort of a joke because really, you can have any style and be eco-friendly. And now that might seem a little bit obvious today in 2014, right? Everyone knows, well, I can be eco-friendly and I can employ whatever kind of style I want. But in 2008, which wasn't that long ago, people still thought green was a look. And as a sustainable designer, I would go to a cocktail party or whatever, and people would say, what do you do? And I'd say, I'm an eco-designer. And they'd say, oh, I know that look. That's that bamboo sort of like modular, like Northern European look. I know that look. And I would say over and over, it's not a look. It's not a look. It's not a style. It's a standard. And finally I said, screw this, man. I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to just show a bunch of different styles and so people can see how easy it is to be sustainable and be Art Deco or be super modern or be really traditional and not give up anything in terms of style, just focus on sustainability as a goal, not as a book.
Love, so high fives all around.
Can I ask a question?
I see, yeah. Mark, yeah.
Yeah, the question is, Northern European look, which is one piece of birch and 7,000 square feet of drywall and white paint.
Yes.
Why on God's green earth would someone equate that look with eco-design, with, you know, thermal efficiency, with not building too big of a house, with any number of different things, locally sourced materials? What does that have to do with anything?
Minimalism. So, you know, reduction of materials. Reduction of materials.
Oh, yeah.
Really simple and not overcrowding something, which I actually really believe in as a principle. I think the number one way you can be eco-friendly is to not overconsume. Which is incredible.
That's why when I frame a wall, I only use 3 2x4s, no matter how long it is.
I can't wait.
Doesn't matter.
Can't wait to go in there and have it fall on me.
You know, Mark is about safety. Right after being environmentally conscious,
I am green.
He paints himself green and he puts up the three pieces of wood.
That's it. That's all you need.
It's safe. It's all about, you know, he's just really about the children and making sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he only builds buildings for children, right, honey?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about that. Safety all the way. But the And you raise a good point because you wrote that book back in 2008.
But it's still
2014.
It's so relevant.
It's
though.
So relevant.
Why do you think so? I mean, so I look at it and I'm like, it feels like a yearbook to me. Like when you're a senior and you look at your freshman yearbook and you're like, oh my God, what was my hair back then? It feels like that. I don't know. You know, when you write a book, it's out there and that's it. And it's, you know, it's this sort of encapsulated moment in time. And it's like 2008 out there forever for the whole world to see my hair in 2008, which was the same.
So, you know, my favorite thing, though, that I have read about you is that you spoil the client and not the environment and the designs that you do. And I would love to know, this is something that everybody always asks when they interview anyone, like, what are your tips and tricks and all that stuff? But is there something that you go to time and time again when you're working with a client that is, you know, like essential to the design process? And we only have 2 minutes left, so.
Reuse is my go-to. It's my first thing. It's the thing that I start with. It's the thing. It's the reason I got into sustainable design in the first place. I was working for a really high-end design firm as a young designer and saw so many beautiful things just sort of be tossed away when it was time to redesign. And so reuse is where I always start with clients. We go through everything that they have and figure out if there's ways to reuse, because reduction of new consumption is, I think, the easiest way to be eco-friendly. So that's the first place I start always.
I really like that.
I'm a huge fan of trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My little boy is too.
Not creating it or using what's there in a new and better way.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of that always. And I'm the one that says, hey, honey, do you see those doors on the side of the road?
And speaking of which,
we could make something out of that.
Fortunate, because we're developing a My Fix It Up Life junkyard.
Really?
No, it's a laboratory, honey. It's an experimental laboratory.
Have you seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? I know it's an old movie, but that scene at the end where they wheel the ark into that government warehouse, that's our basement. Maybe I shouldn't say that in public.
You're ready for that.
Oh my goodness, I would love to have more space, but I don't want to take up too much.
No.
And I don't want to take up too much of your time, Kelly LaPlante, designer, daredevil, author, entrepreneur.
It doesn't say eco-friendly designer under my name. It just says designer, because at some point I was like, we're there. We are being eco-friendly, and it's not something I want to make a huge deal about anymore. I always make the analogy, it's like, when you say, oh yeah, that oven gets hot, of course it gets hot.
Well, we're burning our way into a break.
Follow
Kelly at Kelly_LaPlante on Twitter.
We do.
Facebook, Kelly-LaPlante-LLC, KellyLaPlante.com. Thank you. We're out. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Thanks, Kelly.
It's time to bring beauty back in your next project by seeing red. Born to beat the elements, Western Red Cedar is awesome for outdoor rooms, decks, fences, pergolas, and more. Inside, cedar's a sweet choice for hope chests, highlight walls, and woodworking projects, big and small. Stable, chemical-free, and safe, cedar's a natural choice. So bring beauty back to the yard and punch up projects inside the house. For more information and ideas, see red at wrcla.org. Sanding walls before you paint? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet-dry vac and go. Drywall dust on your furniture, no tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com.
That was really kind of fun. I'm excited because we're going to be giving something amazing away.
We are.
I love mattress. You know, as I get older, the more I enjoy when we go to a hotel, the mattress and the linens. I think that's a universal thing, though.
It
but
is.
We are giving away a Sleep Innovations 14-inch
memory foam. I forget what you said. It sounds
queen size,
awesome.
Amazing.
Sleep Innovations
it's
mattress.
Like worth $1,000. We have a winner.
Christy Deanna Balser.
Woo!
You get a good night's sleep, and to stay consistent with our theme, and which is why Sleep Innovations gave this to us, to give away, is there's nothing greener than health.
No.
Taking care of yourself, every doctor visit you don't have.
Every pill you don't have to take.
That's green. That's living the good life.
Yes, it is.
A huge pillar of that is a good night's sleep.
And I'm excited for everybody who joined us today on My Fix It Up Live, talking about sustainability, and our wonderful guests. They are just so delightful, and all of them have been inspiring sustainability for a very long time. So high fives to all of them. Follow them on Twitter. I want to also leave you with a quote, honey.
Oh, good quotations to be your.
And it's so appropriate for sustainability and a good night's rest. When I count my blessings, I count you twice.
Oh.
I know.
So check out our videos, not that one, on YouTube. Visit us at myfixitoplife.com. Like us on Facebook.
Tell your friends about us.
Talk
to us on all those places, too. We like to get inspired by you and see your awesome photos.
We love it. And join us on our Hangouts on Google+. I think that's it. I think that's all the places we are.
And join us for our next edition of
My Fix It Up Life. We're out!